Next on BYUSN, we are live from Allegiant Stadium. It's day two of Big 12 Football Media Days. The biggest news from day one in recap form and what we anticipate from day number two.
We'll chat with the Big 12 coaches, Chris Klieman, Neil Brown, and Coach Willie Fritz. Plus our conversation with Utah quarterback Cam Rising. You won't want to miss it.
If you haven't heard, the rivalry is back on between BYU and Utah in the Big 12. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, July 10th. Once again, we are live, not in Studio B, but in the Studio Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. Day two of Big 12 Football Media Days. Stoked to be here alongside a man who is ready to go for the second time you've ever done this. Austin Colley, I am Spencer Linton.
Great first day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you excited for day two?
I'm excited because, yes.
Got some great guests today.
I was just going to get to that. It starts very quickly, Austin, today with the newest head coach in the Big 12 representing the University of Houston. We'll talk with him in just a minute. Willie Fritz is going to join us. But we do need to recap some of the notable news from day one, beginning with Oklahoma State, Austin. We talked to Ollie Gordon II. He was our first guest in our two-day extravaganza. And you and I were talking offline. Super impressed by how mature he was. And getting in front of a tough situation off the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's never easy, right, to have a situation like that, especially happening so close to something like this Big 12 Media Day and knowing you're going to have to come answer, you know, a lot of questions about that one topic. Handle it like a guy, like a man, had every excuse in the book not to throw up.
And we learned from Mike Gundy, the head coach, that he will not miss any significant time.
Yeah, and we also learned some off-the-field activities. From our guy, Mike Gundy.
Commissioner Brett Yormark touting the Big 12 as the, quote, deepest conference in America, despite the fact that he believes that the Big 12, in his opinion, underperformed last year. He added, I don't think that'll be the case this year. The parity and balance is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I think with the addition, you know, the addition of Arizona, Utah, they definitely strengthened the conference. I think, you know, competition all around. I think he's right. I think we're going to see a lot better of a product on the field this year. I think a lot of teams were kind of getting accustomed, getting to know some of the new competition, BYU included. Year two, year three,
hey.
12, let's go.
Third headline from yesterday, Brett McMurphy reporting that 10 schools that left the Pac-12 will still play in Pac-12 affiliated bowl games for the next two seasons. Not a shocker right there, but certainly news and noteworthy from day number one. Now, as promised, we welcome in the first guest of day number two. He is Willie Fritz. He is new to the University of Houston after an outstanding run at Tulane University, where he won 11 games and 12 games in that order. Coach Fritz, welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
As you venture into Power 5 football.
And Power it's not, 4.
Sorry, Power 4. That's right. I'm still trying to get used to that. Power 4 football, because that's the new reality. As you venture in, the American's a great football conference. How much different or what the level of, or do you expect the level of football to be in the Big 12 compared to what you faced in the American?
You know, we've played some teams from, you know, Power 4 leagues at Tulane over the years. But, you know, just overall more depth, you know, taller, longer, faster guys, just more of them, you know. I've been very impressed with the talent level. I've had a chance to watch everybody a few times and mostly against Houston, and Houston didn't play him. I watched him against some other people, and it's a great league. I agree with the commissioner. I think it's, you know, I don't see why this can't be, you know, the top conference in the nation. I really believe that. It's you got it from you know, a lot of teams. I counted it up. I think we're playing seven schools that have been ranked in different preseason top 25s. So it's going to be a very competitive schedule.
Some of the first-year coaches that we had spoken to yesterday at the current university or on the current team said they had some surprises when they got to the team, just about culture, maybe the lack of accountability. Is there anything that surprised you when you got to Houston?
Well, it's like that every time you take over a new program. I'd been at Tulane for 8 years, and it took a little while to get that culture established. They hadn't had a whole lot of tradition of winning consistently over the years, and And, you know, I came into Houston, and, you know, when you're doing things differently than your predecessor, it's going to be different for the young men. But our guys really embraced change. I had very few issues or problems. It was a fun spring. I told them all, I'm going to treat you like how you show me I should treat you.
Right.
You act like a good guy, I'm going to think you're a good guy. You act like a turd, I'm going to think you're a turd. You know, and they got a kick out of it too. But, we've really enjoyed our you know, 6 months at University of Houston. And the culture, I think, is something you just got to do day after day after day. And it takes a little while to establish.
Right.
Well, and it's not like you haven't encountered a difficult situation at some point in your coaching career. I'm going to go back to Blinn College, Coach.
That's a long time ago.
Hey, but it was so good that we need to bring it up because you inherited a program that in its previous three seasons had gone 5-24-1. Not good. Then all you do is turn it around and go 39-5-1. You turn into a national junior college power. What can you take from that experience that can translate into Power Four football?
Not a whole lot, to be honest with you. Junior college, the guys don't have the portal, and at that time, they were going from place to place and things like that. And, you know, and they were two-year guys. So, you know, after you got your first class in, you were even with everybody. So quite a bit different from 93 through 96 to 2024 right now. So, but it's just, you know, doing things consistently day after day after day. I think what's helped me, you know, on my path as a head coach is being the head coach at Blinn. I was also the athletic trainer. I taped the ankles. I was a D coordinator. Awesome. I coached all 11 on defense. I was a special teams coordinator.
Head coach. Were you giving Tordahl shots, before the game?
Not then. No, we didn't. But there's a deal called DMSO back then. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Oh, I've heard of it.
But you know, it was just I enrolled via scheduled student athletes. You know, for 14 years. So I think it helps me get a program going a little bit quicker because I know a little bit about everybody's job, all the support staff, and I also admire all the things they do because I had to do it. I used to have to diesel fields. Have you ever heard of that before? You would diesel it and keep the lines because we couldn't afford to paint the lines. You know, and we didn't have the money to buy the paint. So it's illegal to do that now.
Austin, this has been your life. And it goes back to your days at Pittsburgh State, Coach.
Yeah.
Austin, this man played defensive back and was awesome. Was also the point guard on the basketball team.
Yeah.
The guy does it all.
This has been almighty. This has been your story arc. Like, you're a man of versatility.
You know, I went back. We had a big reunion with all my teammates at Pittsburgh State about 2 weeks ago. And, boy, we've all gotten better. It's incredible how good we got. I heard a guy talking about all these sacks he had. I didn't think he played, but maybe he did.
We've all gotten better. I love it. Isn't that kind of how it works, though, right?
You get
back with the guys, and you're just like, oh, you remember when? It's always a remember when, right?
Yeah.
I think Coach Fritz, given the success that he's had and given the success that we've seen, you know, at Blinn College, Tulane, right? I think it's safe to say he's the new Chip and Joanna Gaines, the fixer-upper of football programs. You've been coaching since 1982?
My first season was 82, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The game has changed, especially on the recruiting side, okay? The transfer portal. Are you a fan?
You know, I've had a couple people ask me that question. You know, it doesn't really matter what Willie Fritz thinks about it. You know, you got to adapt and improvise and go with it. And how does it help Houston? That's what I'm worried about. And, a lot of people are concerned about the rules and how they should change them. And they're not going to ask my opinion. It doesn't matter. When they tell me what the rules are, I want to do it to the best of my ability.
Sure.
I think it's a good thing for some kids. And some kids, it may not be a good thing for. You know, but like I always tell them, you can only go to one homecoming. Can't go to two, right?
That's exactly right.
He's full of wisdom. Willie Fritz, the head coach of Houston football, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Let's talk expectations. You come in, and I'm sure that the administration and the fan base naturally is like, okay, well, we're not expecting you to win a championship in year one. So how do you manage expectations when you're picked 15th and you do take over a program that needs some polishing up?
Well, I come back to being consistent, you know, day after day after day. I've had a slogan that a lot of people use now since the 90s, you know, 1-0. And we want to go 1-0 every single day, you know. And I told the kids at Houston we're going to break down to 1-0. And I said, I know you think that I'm copying somebody. I did this a long time ago with it. But it just being your best every single day and then understanding what your strengths are, you know, and trying to make sure you accent that and staying away from your weaknesses, you know. And, I think that's what I've evolved to as a head coach. I still, you know, work heavily with the kicking game, but, you know, I try to help my coaches, you know, this guy should be playing more than this guy. This guy can do this. He can't do this. So quit having him do this, you know. And sometimes it's hard to see the forest for the trees, right? You don't, the coaches don't see that exactly. And I think that's where I can help them. And that's what we got to understand, you know, the first 2 or 3 weeks is what are our guys good at? And that we're going to play a lot of guys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't tackle much in spring football or preseason camp, you know. So we're going to play a lot of guys, and we're going to see how many reps guys are going to get, you know, come week three. You know, this guy may have only gotten 20, and now he's getting 60. So that's part of my job as a head coach.
What are your strengths right now as a team? What do you feel confident in that you
know? I like my quarterback. I really do. He was injured and didn't go through spring ball. He had a good season last year for the University of Houston. He's, you know, he's a big guy. He's, you know, his dad's the running back coach for the Indianapolis Colts.
And speaking of Donovan Smith, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Donovan Smith. His dad has been there for a while. He's from Las Vegas. He played at Gorman High School. But he had a labrum injury with about 3 weeks to go in the season, played through the rest of the year. I kept him out of spring ball. But something that was interesting was, you know, we've got the sideline to helmet communication. So he couldn't go through things, but I would have the script. And he and I would talk about what was going on out there on the play that was called. And he'd go through his progressions, what he was reading, what he was looking at. And I was just very impressed with his football IQ and just the leadership that he showed with all the guys. And now he's fully healthy and just got back going to the old Manning Passing Academy. And Archie texted me and told me he did a heck of a job. So he's a guy that I think is going to, you know, people may be unaware of, but I think he's going to have a great season for us.
Outstanding. Well, we'll finish with this. You get BYU in the season finale in Provo in late November. What's your perception and understanding of the state of BYU football at this?
You know, I've never been there and played before. You know, and
you're in for a treat, Coach.
I've heard it's something else. I heard that the venue is incredible. It's beautiful, and
apparently we have the nicest fan base alive. Which I don't know. that doesn't make me too happy to hear that. I mean, I like a hostile environment.
You're being sarcastic. I take it, but yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I like going to places that I haven't played before. You know, I've been up in that area and played at Eastern Washington and Montana State, and not too far away from y'all. But yeah, it'll be fun to see that great stadium. Where it's at, and the great tradition that, you know, BYU's had.
Great to talk with you, Coach. Great way to kick this thing off on day two for us. We appreciate you spending some time with us. And we needed to have a dual sports star on the show to get things going on.
I mean, exactly, right? I mean, Deion's got nothing on this guy.
He was trying to get me on that one deal. You weren't getting me on it.
How many points did you average at Pittsburgh State? Do you remember that?
You're talking about in basketball?
Yeah, football? In basketball.
I had a triple single.
Triple single.
Oh, I love it. Respect nonetheless.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Coach,
oh, yeah.
You're awesome. Thanks so much for the
time.
Thank you,
Coach.
Appreciate it.
All right, our question of the day. What was the best thing you saw or heard during day one of Big 12 football media days? Let us know. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Andrew Smith says, BYU versus Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship game. That idea, courtesy of Oklahoma State quarterback Alan Bowman.
Alan was a great interview yesterday.
His mustache was also fantastic.
It was on point. All right, tune in to BYU Sports Nation tomorrow for a final day of coverage from Big 12 Media Days, including interviews with Kalani Sitake, BYU players, and Deion Sanders. Tomorrow, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, the head coach of Kansas State, Chris Klieman, on playing in Provo this season, where his team has improved the most, and peanut butter tacos in Manhattan, Kansas.
That sounds disgusting.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
It's a different league. It's a way more physical league. But that's being in a big league. Like, sometimes it's going to be a little easier, sometimes it's going to be a little tougher. There's a number of teams that could win it, and even some of the teams down toward the bottom may surprise people and jump up. It's anybody's game.
We are live, day two from Big 12 Media Days at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, right in the middle of the field, right where we want to be. Welcome back to our extensive coverage of this Media Day extravaganza. Yesterday, BYU Sports Nation had an opportunity to speak with Chris Klieman, the head coach of Kansas State. If you remember, the Wildcats, their Big 12 opener, is in Provo at Lavelle Edwards Stadium on September 21st. That is discussed, among other things, with the head coach, Kansas State, Chris Klieman, on BYU Sports Nation. It is our pleasure to welcome in, straight out of Waterloo, Iowa, and a Columbus Catholic high school football star, and played both ways, we should note, as a defensive back and a quarterback, the head coach of Kansas State, Chris Klieman. Coach, great to have you back.
Where did you get your research from?
Well, we got to go deep sometimes, man, to be a little bit different than everybody else.
What was my mascot's name at Columbus? Did you know that one?
I don't know the mascot.
It was a sailor.
It was a sailor.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense. Huh?
Okay.
That makes perfect sense. Hey, do you have anybody that could emulate what you did playing both ways on your team this year?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few of them. But back in the day, that was what you did in the 80s. You played both ways because you didn't want to come off the field. Now, you know, we didn't play as many plays as they're playing now, though, either. So it's I think Siegel could, our safety, could play okay, wide out and play a solo safety for sure. You know, Avery could probably.
I was
like
just
to
say,
Avery could play
Avery's
corner.
He is a fantastic athlete.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah.
What do you like the hair? By the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If I could grow the hair like that.
No, me too. I think there's a number of us like that. But he wears it well, and that's a signature for him. Like that for a long, long time.
I'm just hoping it shows up in the new video game. That he has the flowing hair out of the helmet.
That's a good point. I have not seen that video game yet, so.
Chris Klieman is with us on BYU Sports Nation. 9-4 last year. Didn't play BYU. This year you get BYU as your Big 12 opener in Provo. And I know that you told us last year you've got a long respect for BYU and Lavelle Edwards and everything that goes in there. So what do you anticipate when your team takes the field for that Big 12 opener against BYU?
Kalani better be nice to me. You know, he better take me out to eat the night before. He and his dad will take me out to eat. We had a great week with Kalani and his dad, my wife and I did, in Hawaii this year. And so tremendous amount of respect for him. But it's going to be a great environment. I think a lot of our fans will come out. I think that's going to be a neat trip for our fans. And I think that's the one thing that excites me, and it should excite all the Big 12 teams, is just going to the different venues and seeing Big 12 football. And I don't even know your guys' schedule, especially the away games, but you're going to play in some tremendous venues, and we're looking forward to going to Provo.
You know, it's interesting. When BYU was an independent for so long, you kind of forget what it's like to be part of a conference. And now in year two in the Big 12, you're sort of reminded of just the camaraderie that there is. And there's certainly in the heat of the battle, things can get heated, but just the camaraderie of this conference, and it's changing, but still, what do you make of this conference and the direction that it's going?
Well, for starters, as coaches, we have a tremendous amount of respect for each other, and that's apparent when we get together at different venues, whether it's today or whether it was in Arizona in May, the respect that we all have for one another. But I'm excited about where this conference is going. I don't know how anybody could have picked an order of finish.
Wild.
You know, and somebody said, hey, we were picked second, and I'm like, okay, you know, we could have been picked 13th. I don't know how anybody could tell, because of the influx of talent every year coming into these schools from a transfer portal, as well as you can tell me all the teams that were in the Big 12 last year really know what Utah, Arizona State, Colorado's roster really is. I mean, it's just a crapshoot, and I don't take a whole lot of solace in any of that stuff. We just go and get ready in August and see who we're going to play and go to work.
But expectations are high, and there's a reason for them being high for you. You have a really, really good team. What excites you about this group?
The fact that we have so many kids that have been in the program 4, 5, and 6 years. That's hopefully a sign of stability and maturity that A lot of our kids have been around us. We've been going, our staff's going in our sixth year now. We have a really good strength staff. We have really good kids in our program that hold each other accountable to a standard that they expect. And when you have kids that are four, fifth, and sixth year guys, the little problems don't ever come my way. They handle the stuff in the locker room. And so the fact that we have so many guys returning, we're going to have a true sophomore quarterback that is a special talent, but he's only played a couple of games. And so we've got to surround him with really good talent. We think we have. We've got to stay healthy, just like everybody else. If you stay healthy, you got a chance.
The head coach of Kansas State, Chris Klieman, is on BYU Sports Nation. I want to go back to something you just said about Kalani Sitake, because there is a bond there. And, yep. And you told us about it last year, but to remind BYU fans of where that began and how it began, walk us through the timeline of your relationship and that development with Kalani and Timberly Sitake.
Yeah, just have great respect for Kalani. Haven't known him very long, but just different events and stuff and coaches conventions and things that I've gotten to see him at, and just tremendous amount of respect for him as a person. And then being able to spend a week with him this past February, and he brought his dad. It was really cool. He got to spend a lot of time with my wife. They hit it off really well. It just a genuine person and a genuine guy that's a really good football coach. And I'm glad that he's in our league.
Without question, that core, growing old together, was such a prominent and paramount part of what you accomplished at North Dakota State.
Yep.
It was amazing to watch, like, year to year, that maturity and teams get better and better. So since moving to Kansas State, what parts of the culture you established there have you seen emulate or make its way into Manhattan?
Yeah, it's finally a player-led team, and I think that's really important, especially in today's day and age of college football, of, you know, the transfer portal. We'll bring a few transfers in, but they got to get through our group of guys first. It's not, hey, I like him, he's a good football player, now let's get him around seven or eight of our guys and let those guys decide, do they fit with the type of guys you want to play with, the type of guys you want to be in that locker room. And they hold each other accountable, whether it's on the field, whether it's off the field, whether it's in community service. And when you have guys that have a voice and have no problem expressing that voice, I mean, there's all these guys are with me today. Mott and Austin Moore have been with me now the whole time. We recruited them. We're going into our sixth year together. Avery's been 2 years. The other two have been one with me five, one with me three. They know who we are, and there's nobody walking around on eggshells in our program. Everybody, we're honest with the guys. We're going to challenge them. We're going to love them too. And it's fun because the more time they're in our program, the more comfortable they get, and the more they can give the messaging for us. There's stuff that I say, the strength coach says, the coordinator say, but, man, it's our kids saying it at a captain's practice. It's our kids saying it in the locker room. It's our kids saying it out in the community because they know that they want to make sure we're represented in a positive manner.
Well, the dynamic that you're talking about in terms of, you know, guys coming in and you have to implement them, is it becoming harder and harder to be able to find those player-led, you know, discussions, and is because there is so much turnover sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely, there is. But you're going to find out you're either going to, you know, fall in line with this or you ain't going to last very long. And it's not falling in line with myself and Coach Drew and some of our staff. It's doing things the way that we do, whether it's in a weight room or at a workout or wherever it may be. But, you know, we vet a lot of the kids that come into our program. We want to make sure of that because you're only as good as your locker room. And that's not just on the field. But, man, I want to make sure that you don't hear about K-State in the news.
Yeah. I have to bring up DJ Giddens. He's your returning leading rusher and certainly will be a dynamic duo there with Avery Johnson at quarterback. What have you seen from him that isn't already out there on film that everybody knows?
Well, he's not an all-conference performer, so he knows that from the preseason. But I think DJ Giddens is one of the best running backs in the country because he's an every-down back. And he can punch it up in there. He can make people miss. He can hit a home run. He's got great hands out of the backfield, and he's really good in pass protection. And so we're going to still give him a bunch of carries, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be an integral part of our offense. For us to be successful, it's going to have to be the Dylan Edwards that we got on a transfer, the Jace Browns, the Keegan Johnson, some of our other wide receivers that are so talented, of those guys taking some of the pressure off of Avery and DJ.
Well, I want to ask you about defense before we let you go. I mean, last year the defense was phenomenal. You have so many of your top tacklers back, yep, and a lot of those key pieces on that side of the ball are back. What can this defense do for you and this program this year?
We've got to continue to create more turnovers and limit explosive plays. We were better the back end of the year, but we still gave up too many explosive plays. And I'm convinced in today's day and age of football, if you make somebody drive 80 yards in 10 plays, they're going to make a mistake. But if you give them a couple 30-yard plays, it's pretty easy to end up in the end zone. And so we've got to continue to develop depth so that we can make sure and play a lot of guys, get the ball back to our offense and with turnovers and with stops. And we're going to do some different things on defense. We've been a 3-3-5. We're going to stay as a base out of that, but we're going to do some different things because we have a lot of really good defensive linemen.
Okay, Coach, we'll finish with this. Manhattan, Kansas, we learned from Avery, it has this great beef steak, Wagyu beef he was talking about.
Phenomenal.
Like, you need to try it out. What else do BYU fans and Big 12 fans need to know about Manhattan and things to do other than football in Kansas State?
Well, there's great local cuisine, for sure. You go down to Aggieville, there's a place called Taco Luce that has the best peanut butter tacos you've ever had.
Oh, peanut butter tacos?
Yes.
Oh.
Phenomenal.
Does Kalani know about this? He'll be excited.
You can bring some when you come out to Provo?
Maybe. I'll see if I can do it. They have phenomenal peanut butter tacos, and it's got some peanut butter, some steak, some bacon, some jalapeno.
Oh, man.
Some sriracha. Oh, my gosh.
Jason, are you taking notes?
I zoned out.
Everybody I take there, they're like, I'm not going to eat a peanut butter taco, and I order them one. They're like, that's the best taco I've ever had.
I've never even heard of a peanut butter taco.
Come to Manhattan.
Okay. Hey, listen, Kansas State's a great college community.
Yes.
Great sports. Now we have even more reasons.
There you go. There it is.
Let's go. Coach, we appreciate the time. Your class act. Always good to talk to
you. Awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Chris Kleiman of Kansas State on BYU Sports Nation. What a great personality and a great coach. Hey, after the break, our conversation with the quarterback on the other side of the in-state game. Oh, yeah, the rivalry. It's Cam Rising from Utah joining BYU Sports Nation next. You don't want to miss it.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Allegiant Stadium from Big 12 Media Days. I am Spencer Linton. Austin Colley will join me again in just a moment. Utah quarterback Cam Rising made plenty of headlines at Big 12 Media Days yesterday and spent some time with us during that day one extravaganza discussing his recovery, his health, being picked to finish first in year one of Big 12 play as a collective unit over at Utah, and yes, the rivalry. Here's Cam Rising on BYU Sports Nation. Cam, great to have you with us on BYU Sports Nation. I think every fan across college football wants to know, how are you feeling on the scale of 0 to 100% as you get ready for your final college football season?
I'm feeling great, ready to go. It's been great having spring ball and all that, just getting that feel back for the game. And, yeah, I'm right where I need to be.
How hard was it watching last year, just being on the sidelines?
It's always hard. I'm a guy that prides myself on just proving that I'm the guy for the job and always going to go out there and try to put the offense in the best position. And just to see the offense struggling like that definitely hurt. And I know the defense, they were battling their tails off and just doing everything they can. So it was definitely hard. And I'm excited to get back out there and help them out.
What lessons did you learn as you had to exercise that patience and sit out? Because you do bring so much to your team. You know what you're capable of, and then you can't go do that.
Yeah. It's hard to lead from the sidelines. You can't really bring as much energy and stuff if you're not out there in the pads and all that. And it kind of gave me a sense of what I guess being a coach is and trying to motivate and do all that. But it was challenging, and just I'm excited to get back out there. And I know I'm ready for it.
Coach Rising, do you like the sound of that?
That wouldn't be bad. Maybe one day. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Brian Johnson did it.
I know.
Right?
And at a high level, too.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. Still continues.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Talk to me about the offensive weapons, okay? You have Brant Keithy, yep, right? Major contributor over the past few years. you lose guys the likes of like Devon Vele, yep. right? Some great leaders.
Oh, yeah. But you bring in Dorian Singer from USC.
Dorian Singer, yeah, right? Another explosive
he's a
weapon.
Great player.
What have you been doing to make sure? Because I know, you know, being a former wide receiver, it was absolutely – all the reps during the offseason were absolutely pivotal in terms of building kind of like that – you know, I call it that sixth sense between a quarterback and a receiver, right? That marriage.
Yes, sir.
What have you been doing this offseason to help build that with them?
Just playing catch as much as we can, making sure we're talking, always trying to pick each other's brains on routes and just kind of the idea that what we're trying to get done for the plays, just so we're on the same page with that. And, yeah, I'd like to work on some just breaking the pocket type things with him. That's one thing I think we can work on a little bit more. But, yeah, I think we've been doing a great job just building the chemistry and making sure we'll be ready to hit the 10-yard out on time and everything like that. Yeah.
It'll be 605 days between starts when you take the field against Southern Utah. What are you looking forward to most about taking the field for that game?
Just getting out there on the field and just pretty much snapping the ball. That's a feeling that you can't really replicate. It's like a drug to me just because that adrenaline and everything that's going on and you're just ready to go, especially after a great week of preparation and stuff like that, really, really definitely helps out.
Okay, so one of the biggest things that surprised me was BYU, you guys haven't played us since what, 2019?
21.
21.
21 is the last game.
Okay. You haven't played BYU at all.
Yep.
Okay. Give me the thoughts on, one, the rivalry.
Yep.
Because, you know, being in the Pac-12, you've kind of been, you know, BYU's sure. been, you know, the team down south to you guys, yeah. right? So give me your thoughts about the rivalry and then also going down or having them come up and play you guys at home.
In conference, no less.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I just don't really like BYU. I mean,
jeez. This is normal. Normal.
I feel like I'm definitely the red part of Utah that – Is the good side, I'd say. You know?
But I don't know why people have a problem with that. Like, it's okay for you to say that.
Yeah, that's what makes it great.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like seeing the Y anywhere. I don't really care for it. Yeah, it's definitely a rivalry.
Which is awesome, given the fact that you haven't experienced playing us yet, right?
Yeah, like, but I was on the sidelines that last game, so right. I kind of got the sense
you
of
got
it.
Got a little bit of a flavor of it, right? But I mean the that game, you know. Always meant something, but now that the fact that we're all in a conference again, right, means that much more.
No doubt.
Being ranked number one preseason polls also helps with that.
Absolutely.
Right? We've got a little chip on our shoulder. I should say BYU's got a little chip on their shoulder. What have you sensed like a sense of urgency now that rating has come out from the preseason polls aspect of being number one, at least in the off-season workouts or anything like that? Has anything changed?
We don't really care about any of the rankings. It doesn't really mean much. I'm glad they put us in that pedestal a little bit, but yeah, it's not our focus. Our focus is to go out there and win football games. Doesn't really matter what you're ranked at the moment. Just got to win.
You did it in 22 when you're picked to win the Pac-12. Then you won. Then you won the Pac-12.
Oh, yeah.
So that certainly carries some weight with it. Though coming into a conference as a newcomer, like that's a pretty significant nod of respect. Absolutely. So how do you balance that, but then dealing with a new style of play? Because Big 12 defenses are very different in large part, and they show a lot of multiple fronts compared to what you saw in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I've been in the Pac-12 for a long time, kind of got used to the teams a little bit. They tend to change those little nuances here and there on the schemes, but for the most part, it's usually the same thing. And it's just going to be nice switching it up and getting new looks. I know there's a lot of quarters and stuff that gets played, so I like going against that coverage. Usually it's fun getting to throw the big posts and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Just looking forward to that.
So the mentality of a quarterback like you, like, I can't help but draw some parallels to Taysom Hill, who went through some significant injuries. Yeah. But now look at him. He's doing great things
awesome,
in the NFL.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure you can kind of relate to him a little bit. But how do you overcome sometimes maybe some doubts, like, am I really okay? How do you work through that psychology of that?
I mean, I think you just put it on the back of your mind and just go out there and do it. I mean, you'll kind of get that feel if something's off or something's wrong, but at the moment, I don't have that sense. I feel like I'm good to go, just ready to go out there and play That's all I'm looking forward to right now. Right?
Austin, I feel like he has high pain tolerance as well, Ken.
I'm tough, but I can handle it.
You have been through the ringer. What are your expectations personally for this season?
Just to play and go win every game that we possibly can. That's my goal.
Is there a place that you're looking forward to play? Because we were talking offline, like, yeah, you didn't get to play in Provo. You get BYU in Salt Lake City. But of the stadiums you're going to visit this year, is there a place you're excited to visit? Maybe it's Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Honestly, yeah, Stillwater, Oklahoma. When I was at Texas, we had the privilege of going down there and playing and got to hear the paddles banging on the walls and stuff. That seems like a great environment. I love how they're just right on top of us and stuff. And it's always fun when they're screaming and yelling at you. Just makes it that much more fun out there.
It takes a unique personality to handle stuff like that. Not everybody likes that, yeah. But you like that, Cam. You like the road environment. Oh, yeah. What is it about road environments that you enjoy so much?
I like when people talk to me and talk a little smack. Like that's really one of my favorite things. I grew up in a competitive household. My dad would talk smack. My brothers, both of them, like anything. We'd be competing just who can eat cereal faster. That's how we grew up, and yeah, that's why I love it.
So I'm going to make a note of that. Make sure to tell the BYU guys, hey, just be nice to the guy.
You're nice.
Be nice.
Best
quarterback in
conference,
man.
Tell him how much you love him.
Yeah,
you know. Absolutely. It's going to be in bold on the scouting report.
Hey, I don't care what anybody says. College football fans, BYU fans, we're all excited that you're back.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, and we're excited to see you play just as an athlete.
Thank you.
And to see you as a human being back and healthy and doing the thing that you've been given God gifts or a gift from God to go and do.
Yes, sir.
Heck of a player. Always excited to watch, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cam, thanks for the time, brother.
Sure. Thank you, guys.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Cam Rising on BYU Sports Nation. You know what I appreciate most about that interview and specifically from Cam is that he's authentic, Austin. He does not hide behind anything like trying to give politically correctness. He straight up tells you how he feels. He does not like BYU, and I meant what I said. There's nothing wrong. That's part of the rivalry.
I
wish more players would do it on both sides. Just like admit it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't like each other. It's okay.
We shouldn't, right? I mean, it's the brother type of mentality. There's always going to be competition. There's always going to be that hatred. It wouldn't be a rivalry without it.
No question. No doubt about it. All right. Our final interview on today's live show features the head coach of West Virginia, Neil Brown. Remember when they were picked to finish last year and then they were way better? Yeah, he hasn't forgotten that either. How could BYU copy that? We're going to ask him if he has any advice. This is BYUSN.
West Virginia, to me, with Donaldson at running back, the big physical guy, Jaheim Wright is the fast guy, and Green at quarterback, and his dual threat, and then I think may slip up into that top four that maybe they're not getting enough respect.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Allegiant Stadium, day two of Big 12 Football Media Days, alongside former NFL and BYU wide receiver Austin Colley. I am Spencer Linton. It is our privilege to welcome in the head coach of West Virginia, Neil Brown, is back on BYUSN. And coach, one, it's great to have you with us, but we have been plugging what you did as a team last year in hopes that BYU can discover some of that magic. I can't believe you were picked to finish last year, but you proved the doubters wrong. And again, now it's like, well, what can Kalani Sitake and BYU do? So how did you use that chip on the shoulder to pull off what you did last year?
Well, first of all, Kalani knows what he's doing. You know, he's not only a quality individual and a great person, but a great football coach. And he's done this before. You know, I think that's the Kalani and I were just catching up kind of behind, waiting on kind of the next event that each of us had. And I saw the players, and you can tell they've got energy and they're ready to prove people wrong too. You know, I think people lose track. When you make that jump, when you come and it's every single week, it's just different. And they had injuries, and they had injuries at a really important position at quarterback. But I have no doubt that Kalani will get that thing going. And they've got a good football team, and I think they're going to really surprise some people. For us, a year ago, I came here And I knew we had a quality quarterback. Everybody else just didn't know sure. because he hadn't played a whole lot.
Not to mention an amazing offensive line.
Yeah, and but I already knew that. Our O-line and our D-line were proven. And to me, when you're looking at what is successful in college football, well, successful college football teams, the best college football teams, are really good up front, and they have difference makers at the skill position. And I knew we were going to be really good up front, and I knew we had a difference maker at quarterback. And I just felt like people just did not do their homework. And I honestly, I come here, and we're picked seventh, and if you look at it, we return at quarterback maybe one of the most dynamic players in all of college football. We've got a 1-2 punch at running back that I don't think anybody else in our league has.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We lose one significant starter, lose two starters, but obviously a second-round pick at center. But we also have one of the top offensive linemen in the conference, if not the top offensive lineman in Wyatt Milam, who's here. We got a tight end they call in the upper 30s. You know, and our receiver, we played all freshmen last year, so they're going to make a big jump. So I think we have an opportunity to have one of the best offenses in the country. Defensively, our D-line and our linebackers are really good, and we got to fix our secondary, which we tried to do through the transfer portal. So, and we return everybody on special teams. So, you know, we're sitting here, we're picked seventh, and I'm like, well, that's better than a year ago, but, you know, I don't really understand. We won 9 games, won a bowl game convincingly. I still think that we're being undervalued, and some of our players, more importantly, are being undervalued.
Every time we look at the Big 12 conference, it seems like it's a new conference, right? I mean, with the addition of these new
teams. Last 2 years, yeah. Quite literally.
Seriously, what
maybe next
thoughts?
Year again too, right?
Yeah, listen, the way
commissioner.
Things are
yes, going.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on some of the new additions to the Big 12?
Well, they're great for BYU. You know, like little further traveling for West Virginia, but no, I think that if you look at our league, first of all, I think Commissioner Yormark and the presidents and chancellors of the universities in the Big 12 have to be given credit, because we have firmly established ourselves as one of the top 3 leagues in all of college athletics now, and that wasn't the case as short as 18 months ago probably. And now we're a league that goes across 4 time zones. We're a league that from 1 to 16 in football, I would strongly argue that we're the most competitive league in all of the P4 conferences. So it's a strong league, you know, and the 4 teams we've added are quality football. You look what Arizona did last year, convincing win over Oklahoma. If you look at Utah and the consistency they've had under Kyle there at Utah, in Colorado with Deion and everything that goes with that, I think that Coach Prime is done a great job in the transfer portal. And then Arizona State has a ton of tradition. So all 4 of those new teams or programs that come into our league, they make sense, and they've made a really good league even better.
Yeah, if you haven't played football before, you may not realize the impact that travel does have on a team. Are there anything that you're doing this offseason, does that change the way that you prepare for the season at all?
Well, I think you just put a lot more time and thought into travel. Like Kalani and I were back there trading ideas on making cross-country trips.
Yeah.
You know, and he's had to do it, obviously, and we're having to do it as well, and just trading ideas. But it does. You know, sleep is so important.
Yeah.
You know this as a high-functioning athlete. Sleep is so important. And routine is so important. And so how do you get sleep and how do you stay in a routine while you're traveling and you're on flights that are 4.5, 5 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, tough stuff. Neil Brown, West Virginia head coach, is on BYU Sports Nation. You mentioned the dynamic playmaker you have at quarterback. Garrett Green is a special athlete. Where have you seen him progress specifically this offseason?
Well, he played really well as his first year as a starting quarterback. Was through the deep ball great. I think he's an exceptional runner. The next step for him is, and the way I talk to him about this is, all right, you're going to be an NFL player. He's athletic enough, he's going to be an NFL player. What you do, and I talked to him in January about this, and I repeatedly talked to him, what you do over this year is going to determine if you're going to be an NFL quarterback or not. And so the thing for him is passing efficiency. And his efficiency, his completion percentage, you got to go up. He's got to be better on third down, medium and long, and he's got to be better in the red zone, tight areas. And he's worked extremely hard. I have full faith that he's going to be better. And if he can do that, if he can be more efficient passing the football, then we got a chance to take an offense that was top 25-ish and maybe be elite.
One of my former teammates, good buddy, Pat McAfee, former Mountaineer, Is he pulling his weight on
the You're never a former Mountaineer, right?
You're always a Mountaineer.
Once a Mountaineer, always a Mountaineer. Yeah,
I like that. Is he pulling his weight on the recruiting trail?
So, kind of kick him in the butt. So, is there anybody that's living a better life right now than Pat McAfee? First of all, I mean, like,
not a single person.
Hey, kudos to him.
He's winning on every level.
He is winning, and he's winning at an extremely high level. And I'm happy for him. So he came back, and he was one of our honorary coaches for our spring game and did tremendous. Yeah, he did tremendous. It was awesome.
He's a high football IQ guy. Like, not many people realize, but he is a high football IQ guy, an unbelievable athlete, right?
Like, extremely intelligent.
Yep.
Okay, and I think that's something that doesn't get talked about enough. Marketing genius.
Yeah.
You think about the depth that they have on that show, like the different amount of different sports and different entertainers, and it all flows together. And you only do that if you're really, really intelligent. And he's really intelligent. He's got a great mind for football. He is as popular as anybody that's ever put on, you know, that's ever put on a WV. He really is right now. Yeah. And so he's a huge ambassador for our program, without a doubt.
Now, Coach, you talked about this a little bit last year, but I want to revisit it because it's cool, the ties you have in unique ways to BYU, specifically through Mike Leach. You were an all-state wide receiver. Hey, Boyle County High School shout-out, right?
Yeah, there you go. I appreciate it.
Let's go.
UMass Kentucky wideout.
Yep.
Let's go.
Come on. Okay, at Kentucky, you played under head coach Hal Mumme. Mike Leach was an assistant there. Obviously, Mike Leach is a name that's near and dear to BYU fans' hearts because of the time that he spent there as a student. And Lavelle Edwards kind of made him want to become – not kind of, made him want to become a football coach. So as you look back on your time with Coach Leach and Coach Mumme, how has that influenced what you are doing right now at West Virginia?
Well, I think – so I was very fortunate as a player at the University of Kentucky – on that offensive staff, Hal Mumme was the head coach. Chris Hatcher, who's the head coach at Samford, was the quarterback coach. Mike Leach was my receiver coach my first year. Tony Franklin, who I think is a tremendous offensive mind, really kind of my mentor in coaching, was coaching running backs. Guy Morris was the offensive line coach, former head coach at Kentucky and at Baylor. So just really – and Sonny Dykes was a GA on that staff. And so
– that's an unbelievable staff.
Yeah, unbelievable. And for somebody that got into coaching and was, you know, in offensive, that's where I kind of really cut my teeth, was on the offensive side of the ball. Man, I couldn't have fell into a better situation. And I kind of knew it when it was going on, right? We were doing things offensively that other people weren't doing. The one thing that I always thought was neat is Coach Leach and Coach Mumme both always, when the air raid started coming, you think about it, you know, I'm aging myself here, but we're talking about 97, 98, 99. And here we are. Like, I just did an interview with ESPN about the air raid, right? And I mean, that's like, there's some longevity there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They always go back and credit Lavelle Edwards. And if you watch some of the base past concepts of the air raid, the mesh, the Y cross, those are, you can go back and watch BYU quarterbacks running and throwing those plays. And you watch BYU offenses running those plays, BYU quarterbacks throwing that. So I thought that was always really – they always humble themselves and said, no, I didn't – you know, this came from Lavelle Edwards, which I think speaks a lot to those guys as well.
That's awesome.
Coach, great stuff. Fantastic insight. Always nice to talk with you. And can't wait to watch West Virginia. We believe you're going to prove the doubters wrong again.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate y'all having me on. Y'all do a tremendous job. And I know the BYU fans are lucky to have you guys, and y'all do a really good job production and what you do for the program there. And we don't play BYU this year, which I'm glad, because I really believe they're going to have a good bounce back year.
Let's go. Coach, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. This live edition on day two needs a bow put on it. We're going to do that next on BYU Sports Nation, live from Las Vegas and Big 12 Football Media Days.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
At Big 12 Media Days, if you missed any of our Big 12 Media Day interviews with players and coaches from across the Big 12, you can find them on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page. Subscribe so you don't miss any of the BYUSN content.
Yeah, you tell them, Austin. Our question of the day, what was the best thing you saw or heard during day one yesterday from Big 12 Media Days? Our Elite Voice today, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from at Mick_Sorensen32 on X, who says, Cam Rising giving the BYU football team some bulletin board material was awesome.
Was awesome. Exactly what we needed, baby.
Today's Rising shout-out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. It goes to BYU women's soccer. Bella Foligno named the female recipient of the Bob Bowlesby Award. Huge honor. BYU's first ever winner of the award. Student athlete to the max. Our thanks to today's guests, Willie Fritz, Chris Kleiman, Cam Rising, and Neil Brown. Check us out on social media. For Austin Colley, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Lavelle and Patty Edwards. Go Cougs!